Today, I'm going to talk about one sutta from Samyutta Nikaya, Daru Khandopama Sutta, a discourse on the simile of luck. Once Buddha was residing at Kosambi on the bank of the river Ganges, and he saw a great luck carried along by the current of the river. So seeing it, he said to the monks, "Do you see that large log carried along by the current of river?" Monks replied, "Yes, Bante, we saw." So then Buddha said, "Monks, if that log does not veer towards the near shore, does not veer towards the far shore, and does not sink in the midstream, does not get caught on high ground, does not get caught by humans, does not get caught by non-humans, and does not get caught in a whirlpool, and does not become rotten inside, it will tend to the ocean, tilt to the ocean, incline to the ocean. Why is that? Because the current of river Ganges tends to the ocean, tilts and inclines to the ocean. So if the luck is free of eight dangers or the eight circumstances, then surely it will reach to the ocean. So same way, monks, if you do not veer towards the near shore, if you do not land on the other bank of the river, if you do not sink in the midstream, if you do not caught on high ground, if you do not caught by humans, if you do not caught by non-humans, and if you do not caught by a whirlpool, if you are not rotten inwardly, then you would tend to Nibbana, towards Nibbana, tilt to Nibbana, and incline to Nibbana. What is the reason for that? Because the right view tends towards Nibbana, tilts and inclines to Nibbana. So if you are free of these eight dangers, for sure we will reach to Nibbana. So in this discourse, Buddha compared Nibbana to the ocean. Nibbana is like an ocean. And the right view, Samadhiti in Pali, that right view is like the current of river. And we all beings are like a log. So what is Samadhiti? What is the right view? Samadhiti. Samadhiti, translated as right view, it is the knowledge, knowing the realities as it is, knowing the four noble truths, the truth of suffering, the truth of cause of suffering, the truth of cessation of suffering, and the truth of a way leading to the cessation of suffering. So knowing the four noble truths is the samadhiti, that is the right view. And Buddha said in Anguttara Nikaya that there are two conditions for this, for the arising of right view. The first one is parato kosa, listening the correct dhamma, the correct method from others, like a Buddha or the teachers. And also the yoniso, the second cause is the condition is the yoniso manasikara, the wise attention. When one listens or hears the correct dhamma, the correct method, one puts it into the actual practice. Having a wise attention, yoniso manasikara, one will put effort to note and observe the objects arising at that very moment. And practicing in such a way, one will develop mindfulness, concentration, and discern the true nature of phenomena. So the samadhi, right view, will arise. And this right view is heading towards the Nibbana. There are six types of samadhi, right view, mentioned in the text. The first one is kammasakata samadhi. Second one is jhana samadhi. The third one is vipassana samadhi. The fourth one is magga samadhi. Number five, phala samadhi. And number six is paccavekkhana samadhi. The first one, kammasakata samadhi, right view of kamma as one's own property, belief in karma and karma results. Every action is karma, and this karma, whatever the good or evil karma we do, will follow us through samsara. So karma has an immediate effect upon the mind, and also it has long-term consequences. In the world, we can see some are very lucky, some are not lucky. Some has a long life, but some die at very young age. Some have a very good health, but some are sick from their birth. Some are very rich, some has nothing to eat, and some have many followers, many companions, but some are lack of followers. Why all people in the world are not same? Why so much difference? This is the question by a man named Subha to the Buddha. He asked to the Buddha. So Buddha replied, this is because of their karma. The good and bad deeds done in their past existences. Good results from good actions and bad results from bad actions are the evident realities. So belief in these realities is kammasakata samadhi. And this right view, this kammasakata samadhi, is the acceptance of the view based on faith. In the words of elders and scriptures, it is not brought about by one's penetrative knowledge, like insight knowledges. And this kammasakata samadhi, the right view of kamma as one's own property, is the root cause of all good actions. So based on this right view, one avoids unskillful actions and one performs skillful actions, like generosity, morality, and do the samatha vipassana bhavana. Buddha said in Anguttara Nikaya that one who is endowed with right view, kamasakata samadhiti, produces unarising wholesome deeds and develops the arising wholesome deeds. So this right view of karma is like a junction from where one can choose the direction where one would like to go, which way one would like to go. So it is like an airport, bus station, railway station, etc. Standing firmly on this right view, kamasakata samadhiti, one can choose a way to good karma, wholesome deeds, like dana, sila, and so on. So one reborns in a good existences, and one will have a good, prosperous life. And this dana and sila would be a very strong support in walking on the path to Nibbana. One can also choose, standing on this kamasakata samadhiti, one can also choose a way to jhana. Practicing samatha meditation, one can attain jhana. So this right view, when one attained the jhana, the right view is there. So that right view is the second type of samadhiti, jhana samadhiti. Right view with regard to the jhana absorption. So it is the knowledge that arises in conjunction with any of eight types of jhana. And if one is able to maintain that jhana, one will reborn in Brahma world after this life and can live there for many, many years, eons and eons. Standing firmly on this kamasakata samadhiti, one can choose a way to knowledge. So knowledge here means the inside knowledge, the path knowledge, fruition knowledge, and reviewing knowledge, pasavekana jnana. Buddha said that purified sila and right view of karma as one's own property are stated to be the preliminary requirements to the good deeds of samadhi and panya. When one has purified sila and maintained this right view, leaning on sila and standing on right view, one should go on developing the four foundations of mindfulness. So standing firmly on this kamasakata samadhiti, one practices the four foundations of satipatthana, mindfulness, with ardent effort, clear comprehension, and mindfulness, one develops insight knowledges stage by stage. First, one develops the insight knowledge into the nature of mental and physical phenomena, knows that mind and matter are distinct, from each other. So at this time, one will have a right view that there is only mind and matter, no self, no living entity. The false view of self, atta ditti, falls away when one sees the distinct between mind, when one sees the mind and matter distinctly. Then one comes to understand the cause and effect relationship of mind and matter, which eliminates the ahetuka ditti, no cause view, and also eliminates the visamahetuka ditti, fictitious cause view, the wrong view that things arise, things occur without cause, and also the wrong view that things occurs with the irrelevant causes. And deepening meditation, one sees the impermanence nature of objects. Always oppressed by the impermanence nature, it is suffering. And one comes to realize that there is no self that can control the things. Everything is happening in their own accord. Later on, one sees the quick arising and passing away nature of these psychophysical phenomena. Thus, the insight knowledges develop one after another. So the right view, which comes together with insight knowledges, is a vipassana samadhi. When all the stages of vipassana insight knowledge have been completed, the right view of path consciousness, magga samadhi, will arise, and it is followed by the right view of fusion consciousness, phala samadhi, the noble path right view, and the noble fusion right view. So these two are the fourth and fifth kind of right view. And after that, there arise the paccavekkhana jnana, the reviewing knowledge, and the right view, which comes together with this paccavekkhana jnana, is called paccavekkhana samadhi, reviewing right view. And it reviews five things: the occurrence of path consciousness, the occurrence of fusion consciousness, nibbana, and the kilesas, which has been uprooted completely, and kilesas which have yet to be uprooted. So this sixth right view is the reviewing knowledge right view. And we do not need to do anything for this right view of path, fusion, and reviewing knowledge. We only have to work on the vipassana knowledges. Means we only need to practice developing Noble Eightfold Path. Among these six right views, the first one, kamasakata samadhi, the right view of kamma as one's own property, will never disappear from this world, from this existence. There will always be beings who have the right view of kamma as one's own property. And also the second, jhana samadhi, jhana right view will always be present as long as people practice and attain jhana. Although Buddha's teaching is not flourishing, but there will be people practicing concentration. But the remaining for the vipassana samadhi, magga samadhi, phala samadhi, and paccawekkhana samadhi, these four types of right view can only be present while the Buddha's teaching remains alive. So those are the six types of right view, samadhi. Now let's go back to the discourse. When Buddha talked about these eight dangers which prevent a lock being carried away to the ocean, one monk asked him, "Bhante, what is the near shore? What is the far shore? What is sinking in the midstream?" and so on. And Buddha went on explaining one by one. So the first question is, what is the near shore? What is this bank of the river? So this bank or the near shore stands for the six internal sense bases, Acatika Ayatana in Pali. There are 12 ayatanas, the bases. So the first six is Chakkhayatana, the eye base, ear base, nose base, tongue base, body base, and mind base. So these six internal bases are the near shore, or one side of the river. One if defilements arise regarding these six sense bases, one is said to be landed in this bank. So how kilesa arise with regards to the sense bases? So regarding the eye base, the kilesa may arise, "Oh, my eye is very bright. I can even see very tiny things. I can even see the far distances. My eyesight is very good." And one is attached to one's eye, taking delight in one's eye. So lobha dattana arises. And one may have a conceit also. "My eye is not like others. My eyesight is better than others." Mana conceit arises. And also deity, the wrong view also arises. "This is my eye. I can see the things clearly." So regarding the eye sense base, tana, mana, ditti, these defilements, they arise. And also when one's eyesight is not good, one cannot see the things clearly, one becomes sad. And this sadness is the dosa, the anger, aversion. So in this way, the defilements arise regarding the eye base. Same goes to the other sense bases. So when the kilesas, they arise regarding these six sense bases, one is said to be landed in the near soul. So what should we do in order not to land it in the near soul? Buddha said that practice vipassana in order to see the three characteristics, anicca, dukkha, anatta, of these six internal sense bases. Once one sees these three characteristics, one is developing Noble Eightfold Path. So one is carried along the current of Noble Path. Here the right view, Samadhi, which inclines towards the ocean of Nibbana without landing to the near shore. And the second danger, the second question a monk asks to the Buddha is, what is the far shore? Buddha replied, the six external sense bases, Bahirayatana in Pali, are the far shore, the other side of the river. The sense base of visible objects, sound, smell, taste, tangible objects, and the Dhamma objects are the mental objects. These are the six external sense bases. So how is one landed to that far shore in these six sense bases, external sense bases? Let's say one is doing walking meditation outside and one gets a smell of flower. So instead of noting it as a smelling, one looks around to know what type of flower is it. So before looking, there is an intention to look, but one is not noting that intention. So one looks around. And at that time also, one is not noting as a looking. So when one looks, one sees the flowers, but one forgets to note seeing. And when see the flowers, one may think, oh, this flower is very beautiful. I like it. I want to pluck it and put it in the table, etc. So a series of thoughts arise at that time, and one is not noting, one is forgetting noting all those mental states. So that means one is landed on the other side of the river. So remembering that, oh, I'm a yogi, it is not suitable for a yogi to look here and there, thinking this and that, having yoniso manasikara, the wise attention, if one notes and observes from very beginning, the kilesas will not have any chance to enter in the mind, and thus one will not land in the either side of the river. Regarding the manayatana and dhammayatana, mind and the mental objects, in the practice, when thoughts arise, we note it thinking. Noting and observing continuously with full effort, we come to see the thinking mind and noting mind distinctly. There is two minds. One is thinking and another is noting or observing it. When noting mind gets stronger, thinking mind becomes weaker and weaker. So one does not see or one does not know the contents of thinking when the noting mind is strong. There is only noting mind and thinking mind, so no kilesa arises at that moment. And keep on noting like that, one comes to see the arising and passing away of this thinking mind, and later see the nature of impermanence, suffering, and non-self. So it means one is not landed at the either side of the river. One slowly comes close to the Nibbana, because one is not landed at the either side of the river. One is drifted along on the current of samadhi. So if one is able to note and observe these internal and external sense bases, then one is said to be not landing on the either side of the river. And the third question is, what is the sinking in the midstream? Buddha replied that the sinking in the midstream stands for nandiraga, that is the delight and the lust. It is a craving, tanha, the attachment. There are three types of tanha craving. The first one is a kama tanha, craving for the five types of sensual pleasures, and also craving to reborn in human life and in the deva life. On seeing or hearing something very pleasant, very desirable, craving arises, and sometimes the craving becomes so strong that if one does not get what he wants, one even can die at that moment. So this kama tanha, the nandiraga, delight and lust, this craving is very, very dangerous. And the second one is bhava tanha, craving for existence. And this craving is accompanied by the sasata ditti, the wrong view of eternalism. This bhava tanha, this craving based on the belief in the permanence. Sasata ditti is the wrong view that soul or living entity never dies. Although the physical body perishes, the soul remains there and it enters into a new body. So this bhava tanha, it takes delight in the view that living entity is permanent and always wishes for the happy existences. And another is vibhava tanha, craving for the view that there is existence while alive, there is nothing after death. So this is the tanha accompanied by the uccheda ditti, wrong view of non-existence. One who holds this view, Uccheda Ditti, does not abstain from doing unwholesome deeds and also does not perform the wholesome meritorious deeds. Person who has these three types of craving could fall down to the four lower states and suffers there for many, many years. So this Nandi Raga, this attachment craving, is like sinking in the midstream. In the Chandana Sutta, Buddha said that one who already destroyed this craving will not sink in the midstream. And the fourth question is, what is get caught on high ground? Buddha said that it is stand for a conceit, asmi mana, I am the best, I am the richest, I am the most beautiful one, I know everything. So this type of conceit is asmi mana, and this conceit always wants to be on top of others. So it is like being caught on high ground. Person who has a conceit, who always thinks that he knows everything, and whatever he knows is right, correct. So this person will not learn learn from others. And he will not be able to practice meditation. So he will not carry it along by the current of right view. And another question is, what is getting caught by humans? This has to do more with the monastics. If they involve themselves in lay people's affairs and duties, resources, associating with lay people, forgetting their own duties, monastic duties, then they're said to be caught by humans. But regarding the yogis, during the intensive practice, if yogis are making friends, associating with fellow yogis, associating with the other people, talking with them, and also taking care of unnecessary matters, then they won't be able to practice properly, because they are already caught up by the humans. I just want to share or tell you the incident that happens in many years ago in Panditarama in Myanmar. We have one yogi from US, and she is a long-term disciple of Seadoji, Seado Upandita. Every year she comes to Burma, Panditarama, to do intensive retreat for a few months. Later on, what happened that there were four street dogs just born. It's raining, and she saw she take care of those dogs, the street dogs. Later, she became so attached to the dogs. Every day, after breakfast and lunch, she brings some food from the kitchen, the leftovers, go outside and feed the dogs. And practice, she couldn't practice properly because she is always worrying for the dogs. Because her room is at the back side. So she goes to the top of the building and will look down how the dogs are. And sometimes she went out to buy some food for the dog food. And sometimes she cooked for the dogs. So she's staying in that way. We remind them, but she keep on doing like that. And one day, Seyadoji saw her going out, coming back. And Seyadoji asks, what is she doing? And we have to report everything to the Seyado, Seyadoji. Seyadoji reminds her, but she cannot give up because she has so attachment to the dog. She couldn't practice because taking care of the dogs. And Seyadoji told her, if you are not practicing intensively, then you cannot stay here. You have to go back. You are wasting your time, wasting your money. You are coming from far. You are not using your time worthwhile, making your time worthwhile. So you should leave. So she plans to leave, but she couldn't leave the dogs in Myanmar. She brought that four dogs to US. It happens 10 years, about 10 years ago in Burma, Pandita Rama. She brought four dogs to the U.S. Yes, dogs are very lucky. They don't need any visa or everything. They can travel to the U.S. But later, we heard the news that one dog died after arriving here. So I don't know the other three dogs are still with her or not. But she's taking care of unnecessary matters because she came for the intensive retreat. Instead of focusing on her own practice, she is caught up, not by the humans, but by animals. So in Panditarama Forest Center also, we have many dogs. We have dogs, and so some yogis, because forest center is a very big place, we cannot see what yogis are doing. We cannot follow them everywhere. Sometimes the yogis, they brought some food from the kitchen and they will just feed the dogs. They are taking care of the dogs. So it means they are losing their mindfulness, their practice. So they are caught up, not by the humans, but by the animals. And they will not carry it along by the right view, the current of right view. So if the yogis, instead of practicing, if they are taking care of unnecessary things, then it means they are cut off by the humans. But all of you are lucky here because you don't have any dog here. But be careful. Downstairs in the lobby, you have fish. So be careful of that. So that is the fifth question. And another, the sixth question is, what is getting caught by non-human beings? The Buddha said, someone lives the holy life, the brahmacharya, with the aspiration to be reborn in the deva world. by doing this dana, by observing sila, or by practicing meditation, may I become a deva. If a person is doing in that way, then it is called getting caught by non-human beings. Once we reborn in deva world, we may not get a chance to practice bhavana. Deva world is full of sensual pleasures. So it is said that the king of deva would descend to the human world to observe Uposatha Sila, the eight precepts, because it is impossible for him to observe Uposatha Sila purely and cleanly in the deva world. So that is why whenever we do any kind of wholesome deeds, we should not do wholesome deeds on purpose of to be reborn in deva world. We should do with the aspirations that idam me punyang nibbanasa pacayo hotu. May this merit be the great cause in attaining nibbana. So then we won't be caught by the non-humans. That is the sixth question. And the seventh question is, what is getting caught in a whirlpool? And it stands for the five sensual pleasures. People are always taking delight in five kinds of sensual pleasures. They enjoy pleasures all the time. And they enjoy the pleasures they have, what they have for the sometimes, and they become bored with that. They look for new pleasures, enjoy it, again feel uninterested, and try to find new pleasures. They never satisfied with what they have, all the time trying to get something new, trying to get more and more. So they are pursuing the sensual pleasures. They become negligent in the practice. That is why they are said to be caught in the whirlpool of sensual pleasures and no chance to carry it along by the current of a right view which inclines towards Nibbana. And the eighth question is, what is becoming rotten inside? Buddha said that someone is immoral, dusila. One is of evil character, impure, of suspicious behavior, secretive in the acts, no ascetic though claiming to be one, not a celibate though claiming to be one, rotten internally, corrupt, depraved. This is called rotten internally. A large log carried along the current of river looks very good outwardly, but it is rotten internal inwardly, not in good shape, slowly decomposing inside, later on completely perished. So it is not carried along by the current of river. In the same way, person pretends to be very moral, though he is not virtuous, pretends to be very diligent in front of the teachers, but negligent in behind, shows a strong devotion towards the Dhamma, though one doesn't have any faith and confidence. So this type of person looks very charming, very appreciable from outside, but inside, no essence at all. So he won't be able to develop noble path. He is far away from Nibbana. So this, among those eight dangers, the eight is about the sila morality. One should be accomplished by morality. This morality is very important. Although one is free from the seven dangers, the first seven dangers, but if one is not virtuous, one's sila is not good, then one will not be carried along by the current of right view. That is why the number eight one, the sila, is very important factor to reach to the Nibbana. Thus Buddha concluded his discourse on the simile of a large log. And the one cowherd, Nanda, was also listening this Dhamma talk, this discourse, and he was very inspired by the talk. So he came near to the Buddha and said, "Bhante, I will not veer towards near shore, far shore, not sink in the midstream, not get caught on high ground, not get caught by humans, not get caught by the non-humans, not get caught in a whirlpool, not become inwardly rotten. May I receive the higher ordination?" He asked for the higher ordination, and the Buddha ordained him. Not long after his higher ordination, he was dwelling alone, diligent, ardent, resolute. He attained the supreme goal of arhatship. So that is why we all should try to be free from these eight types of dangers, so that we would be carried along by the current of right view, which inclines towards the ocean of Nibbana. We all are here in this temporary asama, ashrama in Pali. So the asama or ashrama, translated as a hermitage, the meaning of asama is a place where one extinguishes the internal fires of defilements like attachment, aversion, delusion in very urgent way. And also the asama, the hermitage, is a place where physical and mental dangers, the sufferings, are seized. So while we are here in this temporary asama hermitage, let us try our best to be free from all eight types of dangers, so that we can reach to the ocean of Nibbana. That's all for today.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.